Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, live from Chicago. George Wilder Jr. Show. Keep it right here. It should be fun.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you very much, everybody, and welcome to the show. Another fantastic day outside of my studio window. The sun is out, and it doesn't seem as though the weather's supposed to get warmer. We'll just have to wait and see that. But welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm glad you can join me live. If you can't join me, sit back and relax and listen to the show. It should be interesting. My guest today, I say supposedly because sometimes, you know, things happen. So I can't really promise anything, but she is booked for the show, Michelle Dutro and Jeff Daniels, on the George Wilder Jr. Show today. But if not, folks, I mean, sit back and relax. I have a lot to talk about. I mean, oh, wow. It just keep coming. Make sure you follow me on Blog Talk Radio right here, LinkedIn, Facebook. I'm all over the place, folks. Google. I have a brand new website that I'm still working on. It is beautiful, colorful. Go check that out. Later on, I'll give you the website later on for that. And because in this day and time, if you're doing any kind of a business, it's good to have a website. Your website is like your business card, you know, of who you are and what you do. Because if people are going to check you out, the first thing they're going to go to is your website or your websites to check you out. And they're also going to see if you're listed among, you know, those among Google, in Google, actually, I'm trying to say. But anyway, always, if you have a website, I mean, there's plenty of people out there who you can pay to design your website, but I do it myself. I do just about everything myself, folks, because I try to save. I'm actually stingy, so I do a lot of things myself. And I always say, why pay other people to do things you can do for yourself? There are so many people out here. They're contacting me, Mr. Wilder. Can we? We'll do your website. We'll publicize your books. We'll do this. We'll do that. We'll put your name, your books, or whatever you're doing, or whatever you're advertising. We'll get those into all the search engines and do all those things. I mean, why would I let people do those things when I can do that myself? Mr. Wilder, we can edit your book. We can copyright it. We can distribute it. Yeah, I can too. If you can do it, I can do it also. You know, and I've had one person call and say, Mr. Wilder, we know that you are publishing and marketing and advertising your book on your show and all this kind of thing. We know that you're uploading your book and you're putting it on Facebook, LinkedIn, and all that stuff. But we would like for you to pay us to let us do that for you so you can spend your time doing other things. We are really professionals. You know, and I'm saying, no, why? It goes back one more time. Why would I pay somebody to do something that I can do and probably do it a lot better? Folks, think about that. This goes for people out there too. Why pay somebody to do something that you can do? Man, I have known people who have paid editors to edit their books, and I go back and I read the books, and the books are just more messed up than before, than when an editor even touched a book. I'm not downing all editors. There's some good ones out there, but there are some bad ones out there. So you want to, I would think that people should probably edit their own book. I mean, go over it a few times, draft it again, instead of paying somebody hundreds and hundreds of dollars to do a worse job than what you've done. So that's my take on it. That is my take. If you can do it for yourself, do it for yourself. Do not pay anybody the things that you can do for yourself. If you can't do it for yourself and you want to do these things for yourself, research, learn, and find out. You save a lot of money that way. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I'm going to be talking about the governor of Illinois again, because he is destroying the state. So we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes, in a few seconds, actually. And we're going to be doing that. We do have a smart quiz question for today, and that is, who wrote the Declaration of Independence? So if you want to mull around on that, you can, because this show here, I'm going to tell you, folks, this show right here, my show, the George Wilder Jr. Show, is always trying to make the world a better place. I would not be here if I wasn't trying to make the world a better place. I don't think anybody should who can afford the time, even afford the money and the effort to try and make where you live, your community, your neighborhood, a better place for people to live. Give of your time. Volunteer. A lot of times it doesn't take money to help someone. You can help someone just by giving of your time, your understanding, your expertise, and by you being motivational. It doesn't take much, and that's why I call this show Always Trying to Make the World a Better Place, One Show at a Time. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And I'm pretty sure people are going to copy that slogan. I have a feeling that people are listening to the show and taking it. Other radio hosts are listening to the show and taking it back to their, taking what they learned from this show back to their show and boosting their listenership. That's fine. That's okay with me, because that's how it goes. That's how it goes. If you want to try to better yourself at what you're doing, listen to other people and see what they're doing and hearing what they're doing. And if what they're doing works for them, it just might work for you. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, the talk of our times. And I am so glad to be here, folks. I'm so glad to be here. And I'm glad you're there. If you're not listening now, you can always listen later. This show is podcast. It's saved. You can find this show in iTunes, all over the place, Google. Anytime you want, anytime at your convenience, listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show. You will not regret it one bit. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything, to listen. It's free, and, it's just out there. I've been called one of the finest shows. This show, not me particularly, but this show has been called one of the finest, if not the finest, internet radio show in Chicago. I would like to be not just Chicago, but the world. How about that? The world, So that's very encouraging. It is. But folks, I'm just being myself. All right, let's move right along to Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois. Okay, we got a break here. We got to take a break. Okay, folks, I will be right back, and we're going to be talking about Bruce Rauner's war on the middle class. It's a doozy, folks. We'll be right back. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right, we're back. We're back. We just had to take that slight little break. You know, I want to. I've got my coffee sitting in front of me, so I'm relaxed. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rant. Anyway, we're going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about actually Bruce Rauner's war on the middle class. And this guy, he really has a war on the middle class. And when I say middle class, I'm talking about and including state workers. I think there's about 60 to 70 million state workers in the state of Illinois. And he is after those workers. He's after their unions. And they, as I speak right now, they're down in Springfield, thousand. They're thousand strong. Down there marching in front of Springfield, the governor's office, the governor's mansion, protesting this guy who wants to weaken unions. I think this is his second. He vetoed a bill that would we're going to do a little bit more on it, but he vetoed a bill that would make unions stronger. He has done it twice. And a lot of people who are in unions, who are state workers, fixing our roads, paving our sidewalks, putting up lights along our streets to keep us from walking in the dark when it turns night. This guy is a mess. He's a mess. And they are down in Springfield. I mean, 1,000 people, or maybe more, hopefully. But this guy doesn't, he's oblivious to all of this. He knows all he wants to do is bust and break unions. We have not had a budget. It's going on 1 year. We have not had a budget. I'm hearing that they're trying to come up with some kind of compromise now, because I don't think this guy wants to, this state, this wonderful state, to go without a budget for over a damn year. Then again, I don't know. This guy is mean, nasty, vindictive, and just trying to uproot people in their lives. He's already done that with the funding cuts from these social programs. A lot of these uprooting kids, uprooting senior citizens, uprooting the mentally ill, closing down these mentally ill agencies, cutting funding for this, cutting funding for that, cutting funding for college and universities. He's cutting everything. And he's doing this with his buddies, his rich buddies. You know, Rauner wants to take over the state of Illinois. I mean, he wants to take this shit over. He wants to take it all over. He wants to take over the schools, the public schools. He wants to take over the museums. He wants to take over. He wants it all. He wants this to become Raunersville, King Rauner, you know, Dictator Rauner. And he's masking all of this around a smile as if he's trying to do something for the taxpayers, trying to do something for the people of the state when he's actually ruining it. I mean, they are not calling him Rauner. They're calling him Ruiner, you know, because he's ruining the state. He totally is. And he's talking about busting unions because he feels that people should not be forced to join a union if they don't have to. Nobody's forced to join a union. Destroying unions because, simple, they're too powerful. Unions will keep his ass from being reelected. Unions are too damn powerful. They have too many members for him. And majority of these members, majority of union members are liberals and progressives, and he just do not like that. But Rauner has to come to an awakening to find out that this is a democratic, Illinois is a democratic blue state. It's a blue state. It's not a red state. He may be a damn governor, but this is a blue state because we have a Democratic legislature in the state of Illinois. And we have a stubborn-ass, mean-ass, vindictive-ass governor who wants to uproot all of this in the name that he's trying to do, make it better. Last fall, the Illinois GOP candidate Bruce Brown spent $63.9 million, $27.3 million of his own money to buy the right to occupy the governor's mansion. In other words, folks, this guy bought his way into office. He was not voted in. He bought his way in. He spent his money. So therefore, he knew before he even set foot in the governor's office that he was going to uproot and destroy this state. He wanted unions. He wants unions. He wants to be like Scott Walker, the governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, because Wisconsin, really, I believe the unions are so weak there, they don't even call them unions no more. This guy wants to bust unions. If people would have gotten their asses out and voted in 2014, this guy would not have been in office. And it just sickens me when I hear people say, well, he's doing his job. This man is not doing his job. What he's doing, he's uprooting this state. He's destroying this state. He's got his supporters, but they are nil and none. One thing is factual, is that Bruce Rauner's popularity in the state of Illinois is in the 20s or less. That shows you what the people of this state think of him. Think of him. I mean, when you get the whole state against you, you're weakened. You can't get nothing done. But he wants to try and appear that he's strong. When he knows he's weakened, but he's saying in so many ways he's not weakened. You know why? Maybe he's not, because he's a billionaire, a multimillionaire. And he uses his money to buy off politicians, to buy off people, to do things for him, to buy people off, to cut programs for the poor and the working poor, and also the middle class, which is, you know, includes state workers. And now they are down in Springfield in the thousands protesting this guy. But this is not going to make this guy budge. But it should tell him one thing, that he is not liked and they want him out of Illinois. They, you know, because a lot of things have been uprooted in this town will not be there again, or it will take some time to start over again. Because basically, Bruce Rauner is doing all of this wrong in Illinois through executive powers. And the next governor that comes in, they can just erase what he's done, and these things will start to blossom again. What I'm talking about is social programs that have gone by the wayside of this guy, because every time he cuts funding to a social program, that hurts children, that hurts the elderly, and that costs jobs. I believe Illinois has the highest unemployment rate in the country because of Bruce Rauner. He doesn't give a damn about jobs. He doesn't give a damn about the killings that are going on in this city and in this state. He doesn't try to figure out how to stop the most vulnerable in our state from being massacred. He looks at it just like Rom looks at it. Black people killing black people. Losers killing losers. And some people see it as racism. I'm beginning to see it as that. I don't want to say that, but some people are saying that. And they're more powerful. They have more powerful voice than I do. Have a more powerful voice than I do. He is right, because he's a businessman. He owns so many nursing homes that have been under fire. And just like I just got through saying, the man bought his way into office. He paid for it. He was giving out gift certificates. He paid for it. He spent his own money. He wasn't voted in. He bought it. However, if people would have gotten off their asses and voted, I voted 2015 for governor. I did not vote for this guy. I knew better, but a lot of people did not. This is what we're having. And the problem here is, actually causing the suffering for the people who did vote against him. And now some of the people who did not vote, they wished as hell that they could have voted. And some of the people who voted for him wish that they could take their votes back. But it's too late. But anyway, this guy's, he's almost been in office for 2 years. Okay, if we can stand him for 2 years, if the legislature can hold off on keep him from destroying the state, try to override what he vetoes, we can hang in there for two more years, 2018, and we can vote this asshole straight out of office. He cannot come into office being a dictator. He cannot come into office destroying people's lives. And that's exactly what he's doing. And then he's on television talking numbers, and he's talking all out of his damn head, actually. Nobody knows him because we are following his actions. Are negative. It's what he's doing to the state. I will not sit and listen to this jackass as long as there is not a budget in the state of Illinois. There is nothing for him to tell me. There's nothing for me to listen to. There's nothing for him to try to convince me of. You get a damn budget and you stop hurting people and you stop trying to war against the middle class, then maybe I'll sit and listen to you. You do something positive for this state, maybe we will sit and listen to you and try to find out what you're talking about, if anything. I still say the man doesn't know what he's doing as governor. All he knows is that him and his rich buddies want to take this town over. I mean, folks, they want it. They Rauner didn't like the They have more power than he does. The Democratic legislature, which includes the House and the Senate, they have more power than Rauner, because Rauner's approval rating is in the 20s or lower. And when you've got approval ratings that low, nobody has to listen to get anything done with low approval ratings. But yet he still comes out of his cocoon, wherever he comes from, gets in front of a mic, make people stand with him or behind him, you know, and while he sprouts out at the mouth. And like I just got through saying, it's nothing that this guy can convince me of. It's nothing that he can say to me. As long as Illinois does not have a budget, as long as he's trying to bust unions, as long as he's having this war against middle class who have done nothing to him, they just go to work every day, take care of their kids, pay their car note, pay their house note, and he's effing with them. Basically, that's what he's doing. He's effing with people who are trying to live their...
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I just got through ranting about Bruce Rauner, and I hope you've heard a lot of that because I did a lot of ranting, and now I've ranted so much I'm starting to sweat. Anyway, Bernie Sanders. Let's see what we got here. Let's see if we can play this clip.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders joining me now. Senator, good to see you. First, congratulations on West Virginia.
Thank you very much.
But at the same time, you come out of there, at least now, by our count, with a 17-17 delegate divide. So you win big, but you still don't catch up. You don't close that gap.
Well,
what's the path?
You know, Andrea, it is interesting, and you raise a good point. Hillary Clinton got, I think, 35-36% of the vote, popular vote, yesterday, and yet she gets 6 out of 7 of the superdelegates. And that's what we've been seeing all over this country. In many cases, we win landslide victories, 65-70-80% of the vote, and she gets the superdelegates. I think the people of many of those states are going to be saying to those superdelegates, hey, you know what? Why don't you reflect the views of the people in the state who voted for Bernie Sanders? And that's one of the areas that we're going to be focusing on in the coming weeks.
Well, certainly that sounds like one of the areas you're going to be focusing on in terms of trying to get reform, commitments from her team at the convention or before, that the process is going to change.
Well, no, what we're going to be focusing on in the next month is winning the Democratic nomination. Right now, Andrea, we have about 45.5% of the pledged delegates. That is the real delegates who were voted on by the people. There are 8 primaries and caucuses remaining. We think many of the states in front of us are sympathetic to a progressive message of standing up for the working class and the middle class against Wall Street and the billionaire class. We think we're going to do very, very well. And if we do extremely well, and I know it's a steep climb, but we have been fighting an uphill battle from day one. But if we do very, very well, we still have the possibility of coming in with a majority of pledged delegates.
Who is in charge and how are you working this attempt to get the superdelegates, to recruit them, to switch them over? Are you making calls yourself, for instance? Do you have an operation? Tell us what's going on.
Well, we are going to have a very strong operation, and the point that we're going to make to the superdelegates is a very simple one. Over 400 superdelegates came on board Secretary Clinton's campaign before anybody else was in the race, before anybody else was running. That's pretty crazy. And that talks about the weakness of this whole superdelegate system. Number two, the point that we're going to make loud and clear is that in virtually every national poll that's been out there in the last month or 6 weeks, and in almost every state poll, Bernie Sanders runs stronger against Donald Trump than does Hillary Clinton. And I think what every delegate to the Democratic National Convention wants, most importantly, is to defeat Donald Trump. The case we'll make is that I am the stronger candidate. And it's not only polling. Polling goes up and down. It is the fact that our campaign is the campaign bringing in working class people, bringing in young people, people who are sick and tired of establishment politics, establishment economics, establishment media. Well, people in this country are hurting. They want real change. We are the campaign of that change.
Well, Senator Sanders, flying in the face of that is the exit poll data from West Virginia, which shows that 34% of the Sanders voters said that they would vote for Donald Trump in a Trump-Sanders matchup.
Well, that is what some of those people are saying today. The general election, as you know, is in November. I think in a race with Donald Trump, Andrea, not only do I think we would win that race, I think we would win it overwhelmingly, because I think the people of America, the more they see Mr. Trump, understand that he's a total phony, that what he said yesterday is not what he's going to say tomorrow, that he is a pathological liar, and that he gets a lot of media attention for attacking people, but that is going to wear thin. The American people understand there's something wrong when they are working longer hours for lower wages, and almost all new income and wealth goes to the 1%. They understand there's something wrong when we are the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all of our people or paid family and medical leave. Bottom line is, the American people are not going to go to an establishment billionaire who changes his mind every day. They want, I think, a president who has a life history of fighting for working people and prepared to take on big money interests.
But isn't the bottom line about you versus Hillary Clinton and who would be the stronger candidate that she is now fighting a war on two fronts? She's getting beaten up by Donald Trump on a daily basis. Aside from him calling you crazy Bernie in his tweet, he has been embracing you. He is building you up. He likes the fact that you're taking her down. So she's fighting Donald Trump. She's fighting Bernie Sanders.
One second. Andrea, no, I don't accept, Andrea, okay. I don't accept that proposition. Last I heard, Hillary Clinton is running for president of the United States. I am running for president of the United States. Trump is running for president of the United States. And what a candidate does is make his or her best case to the American people. I have gotten attacked and attacked and attacked. My record has been misinterpreted and lied about. The issue of this campaign is to go out to the American people and talk about why the American people are struggling. Hillary Clinton has got to make that case. Trump has got to make that case. Sanders has got to make that case. And that's what we intend to do. And I know, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that, sir, I'm just saying that Hillary Clinton's, the opposition to her, the negatives against her have been built up by Donald Trump just hammering away at her. And up until now, at least, he has not been going after you as much.
Hey,
she's fighting two big candidates, and you're fighting
one.
Oh, really?
Andrea, in every state that we have won, in 19 states, we have had to take on the entire Democratic establishment. We've had to take on senators and governors and mayors and members of Congress. That's what we have taken on. So please do not moan to me about Hillary Clinton's problems. I'm in this race to win. We're taking on the Democratic establishment. We are standing up for working people, and we have a shot. It is a steep hill to climb, but we're going to fight for every last vote that we can get, every delegate that we can get, and that's what I intend to do in the next month, 5 weeks.
Well, I don't think I was moaning about Hillary Clinton's problems, but just to point out, let me play a little bit of Donald Trump on Morning Joe and ask you to react.
Well, Bernie Sanders has a message that's interesting. I'm going to be taking a lot of the things that Bernie said and using them. He said some things about her that are actually surprising, you know, that essentially she has no right to even be running, and that she's got bad judgment. When he said bad judgment, I said soundbite.
So are you giving him the weapons against her?
Well, if Donald Trump wants to take my ideas and fight for a single-payer national health care program, wants to fight to make sure that the wealthiest people in this country, like Donald Trump, start paying their fair share of taxes, wants to make sure that we have paid family and medical leave, raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, rebuild our crumbling infrastructure. If that's what Donald Trump is supporting, I think that's a good thing, and I hope Hillary Clinton does that as well. But frankly, of course, that is not what Trump will be saying. Point is, when you run for president of the United States, you got to make your case to the American people. And in fact, as you well know, there are many areas that I could have attacked Hillary Clinton on that I have chosen not to attack her on. What I have done is run an issue-oriented campaign. That is what the American people want. And by the way, when you have a real debate about real issues, when you get more and more people involved in the political process, it results in a higher voter turnout. Democrats will win in November, whether it's Clinton or myself as the candidate, when there is a high voter turnout. Republicans win when there is a low voter turnout. I think a vigorous debate, an honest debate about the real issues facing the American people will result in a higher voter turnout, which is good for Democrats.
Speaking of real issues, Donald Trump went after Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton repeatedly over the weekend, dredging up all sorts of personal attacks. I wanted to play a little bit of that for you and ask your reaction.
She's married to a man who hurt many women, and Hillary, if you look and you study, Hillary hurt many women, the women that he abused.
Do you remember the famous, I did not have sex with that woman, and then a couple of months later, I'm guilty. And she's taken negative ads on me.
He's called her an enabler. Do you agree with that?
Look, you know, the media loves that kind of stuff, and that's why Trump is doing so well. That is the kind of ugly stuff that I do not go near. No, I debate Hillary Clinton on the important issues facing working people. The media loves every ridiculous remark that Donald Trump makes. But we are going to stay focused on the issues. And the issues are a growing gap between the very rich and everybody else, and the fact that we have a government and a corrupt campaign finance system that enables the wealthy and the powerful to control legislation and economic decisions in this country. I want a government that represents all of us, not just the 1%. Those are the issues that I talk about, not Bill Clinton's personal life, not Hillary Clinton's emails, not the Clinton Foundation. That is what Trump will talk about. That's what the media will talk about. I will focus on the issues facing working families in this country, and I hope the media will allow that discussion to take place.
And as you say, it's a hard climb to narrow this gap, but and if you don't, will you feel that the revolution has succeeded if she has moved towards your positions on a lot of these issues, and if you open up the democratic process and have fewer primaries like the closed primary in New York that you've complained so much about?
Well, Andrew, our focus right now is on winning the Democratic nomination. But this is what I want to say, whether I win or whether I don't. Democratic Party has got a note that we have won in virtually every contested contest out there. We have won a strong majority of people 45 years of age or younger. The ideas that I am bringing forth in this campaign are, in fact, the future of America and the future of the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party is going to have to open their doors very, very wide to millions of working class people and young people who are tired of establishment politics, who want real change in this country, don't want a party dependent on Wall Street. They want a party that is going to stand up and fight against Wall Street. That is what the Democratic Party has got to do. If I am elected president, that is certainly what the Democratic Party will do, but I hope it happens in any case.
Senator Sanders, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Andrew.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching MSNBC on YouTube. If you want to keep up to date with the videos we're putting out, you can click subscribe just below me or click over
on this list to see lots of other great videos. Get off. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here. I think we had a glitch or two in the show somewhere down the line, but that happens. That happens. We do have Jeff Daniels. When I say Jeff Daniels, I mean Jeff Daniels, the actor. And he disses Donald Trump really badly. Well, Donald Trump is going to be the nominee for the Republican Party. And I played the clip yesterday, and I got a lot of responses from it. So I'm going to try and do it again. And Jeff Daniels, if I can say it, folks, my tongue gets twisted sometimes. He's the actor. He's an actor. I think he has a new show on HBO somewhere on cable anyway. And it's called Newsroom. He's an anchor guy. He tells the news or something. And the media and the pundits like to get him in front of an audience and ask him questions. And he goes and he sinks back down into his character, Will Avery something, his character on that show. And he just blasts, you know, people in politics. And he does a real good job of it, too, folks. He really does a good job of blasting people in politics. Let's see if we can find that clip. Can we find Jeff Daniels? Okay, here we go. It's a little bit over 2 minutes, folks. So Jeff Daniels on Hillary and Trump. Okay, here we go.
All right, so can you say in one sentence or less, all right, you know what I mean, can you say why Donald Trump is the best case scenario for Hillary Clinton?
Well, I think for the first time in election history, I think her opponent might donate to her campaign.
No. I'm going to hold you an answer on that. What makes Donald Trump the best case scenario for Hillary Clinton? Jeff, I'm not going to let you go back to the airport without giving me an actual answer on this question. What makes Donald...
Because he's not the best case scenario, John. That's my answer. Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump is a fact-bending loose cannon who alienates mainstream voters with everything he says. But he gets constant media attention for free. There won't be a day from now until November when Trump isn't on every TV channel. And with a straight face, you're going to tell me that electing a woman is unprecedented? Germany elected a female chancellor. Brazil elected a female president. Denmark, Poland, Korea, Argentina, Norway, Liberia, Cyprus are run by women. So 22 sovereign states. states in the world have already beat us on this.
All right. Okay, fine.
Okay, game change guy. Just in case you accidentally find yourself writing a third book, there's some things that you should know. And one of them is there's absolutely no evidence to support the statement that Trump is the best case scenario for Hillary Clinton. 38% of the people gave her a favorable rating. 30% of the people say that she's honest and trustworthy. And just 22% of Democrats say they're enthusiastic about her being the nominee. Sure, she beats Trump in some categories, like millennials, who don't even show up to vote. She also leads in the number of messages deleted on her personal email server, but that aside. So when you ask what makes Trump the best case scenario for Hillary, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. His tiny hands?
And we'll be right back.
All right, that was Jeff Daniels. Isn't he great, folks? I was never a fan of Jeff, but I am now, I think so, because he's one of the characters from the Dumber and Dumber movies, the Dumb and Dumber movies, if I can say it, with Jim Carrey. Every now and then you hear a bit from him, and sometimes he makes sense, don't you think? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. That was Jeff Daniels. Author Michelle Dutrow, apparently she did not write this down on her calendar. Sometimes I book people a month or two in advance, and you know they have their busy lives, and we'll try to get in touch with her, see if we can rebook her, reschedule her. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Maybe she could call in. I mean, at any moment. I mean, but I'm pretty sure she may have just totally forgotten. We were talking earlier about Bruce Rauner. You know, I mean, as I was saying, folks, there's thousands and thousands of people in Springfield right now protesting this guy because he's wanting to bust unions, and I don't think he's going to do it. He may do something that's totally artificial, but he can't completely dismantle and get rid of unions. I believe he has to have the legislature with him on that, and they're not with him on that. So he can make these draconian cuts or these in things, but he cannot totally dismantle it like he wants to do. And in some cases, he's claiming that the legislature in Illinois is stopping him from doing his job. In other words, they are the reasons to why his poll numbers are so low. How can that? I mean, this guy is looking to blame that's what he is. He's the blamer in chief of Illinois. He's always looking to blame somebody for his problems when he is the total cause of his own problems. Scapegoat. He wants to scapegoat everybody else, blame people for his problems. He's the governor of this state. Bruce Rauner is the damn governor. Whatever's going on or not going on in his state, he's going to take the blame. The people are not going to look at the folks in the legislature. They're going to look at the governor. Just like if something's going around, something in this country coming from Washington is not totally kosher with the people, with the American people, they're going to blame the president. Rauner is trying to say my problems are caused by the legislature. My problems are caused by the unions. Rauner, you cause your own damn problems. You are a public servant. He can't seem to figure that one out, folks. He can't, truly, he cannot realize that he's a public servant. He can't figure out that he is a public figure. He can't seem to figure out that he is the governor of all of Illinois, not just downstate, not just the rich part of Illinois. He's the governor everywhere. But he can't stand unions. He does not like unions. He does not care for the middle class, the state workers. He's saying they're making too much money. He wants to either reduce the minimum wage or get rid of it altogether. And the people are saying the only thing that we're going to get rid of, Bruce Rauner, in the state of Illinois is you. This guy has not been good for Illinois one iota of a bit. And it's not just me saying it, folks. It's the national papers. It's Bill Riley. from Fox News. He's saying it. National papers, local papers are saying it. Rauner is being blasted from every part of the globe. He's being blasted by his own party, people from his own party. He's being blasted by former governors, Republican governors of the state. They're saying, Bruce, stop this crap. Stop the BS. Illinois needs a budget. Will Bruce stop? No. This is why I say this man is in violation of the Illinois Constitution. The Illinois Constitution is the law of the land for this state. You break that, in my estimation, that is corruption. Where are the handcuffs? You know, I do believe that Bruce Rauner is going to be the next governor to go to jail from Illinois. You know that some of these pundits think that Illinois is the most corrupt state in the country, in America. They might be right about that because Bruce is on his damn way. Because blaming everybody. Let me see. They're talking about CPS schools now. And this also reflects of there being no budget in Illinois. They're going to be making all kind of cuts. I'm hearing 40% cuts in public schools, and they're already poor. They're already dire. You know, and there's people leaving Chicago and Illinois. Who can blame them? And, you know, you really can't blame them. But Bruce Rauner is trying to blame the legislature, you know, because Bruce and his cronies, his people, they want Illinois. They want the middle class. They want unions. Why? Because I just got through saying, folks, they have power. They have the power that Bruce Rauner wants. He wants power. He wants to control everything. This man cannot control a damn thing. Anytime you don't have a budget for your state and you're talking about controlling things, give me a break. Give me a break. All right, Governor Bruce Rauner on Monday vetoed a union-backed bill that sought to go around him in their ongoing contract dispute. In other words, the legislature was going to support the union even if Rauner did not want to support the union. But Rauner said, hell no, that ain't going to happen. He said that it was an attempt to tie his hands and to usurp his authority as the taxpayers' representative in negotiations. Bruce Rauner is no taxpayers' representative. If he was a taxpayer representative, he would not be trying to upend the middle class, the state workers and unions in this country. This was the second time that Bruce Rauner has vetoed the legislation, which Democrats keep sending him at the behest of their union allies. Bruce Rauner, he's going to veto anything that happens to be union. So stop sending him something that he's going to veto because he doesn't like unions. He can't stand them. Rauner and the American Federation of State, Country, and Municipal Employees, known as ASME, are deadlocked over a contract to replace the one that expired in July. Rauner has asked the Illinois Labor Relations Board to determine whether negotiations have reached a stage that would allow him to stop the contract talks and impose his own terms on the state's largest employee union. That tells you right there in a nutshell, folks, he wants control. He wants control. In other words, he wants power. Man is pathetic. While the matter is under review at the labor board, Democrats in the legislature sent Rauner a bill that would let either side refer to disputes to an independent arbitrator. I mean, ASME favors that opinion because it would remove Rauner's ability to impose his own contract terms. Rauner wants power. they are vowing not to give it to him. They're vowing not to give it to him. So this is a fight, folks. Rauner wants to bust unions. They're saying, hey, hell no, you're not going to do this. Rauner is fuming at the mouth to bust unions. This guy just cannot stand unions. It's almost laughable. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. We're going to take a musical break right now. Stay with me.
Getting old is a state of mind. Now, I'm 91.
All right, this is 91-year-old Flossie Lewis.
But I still think I'm 15. Will this go viral?
We hope so.
There are several ways I keep myself stimulated. By dragging myself to Piedmont Avenue on my walker or in my wheelchair, and you should see me use my wheelchair, I write light verse for The Crest, which is our newspaper. And every month you can find a sly little bit of verse from Flossie Lewis. The other way I keep being stimulated is just watching politics. And if that isn't enough to drive you crazy, I don't know what is. You do struggle to keep yourself neat and clean and fashionable, and there's always the possibility that romance comes your way. And just liking someone is a treat, because part of being old is to get cranky. There's indigestion and your teeth fall out and suddenly you need hearing aids. And you feel increasingly unattractive. And then somebody says, how nice you look today, Mrs. Lewis. Or you're a real kick, Flossie. And you feel good about yourself. You pick yourself up and you say, I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get through it because I have a reason to get through it. Really growing old is when you discover that you haven't a reason to get through it anymore, and that you'd like to go to sleep with a certain amount of dignity, accepting the fact that the body is going to go, But the personality doesn't have to go. And that thing which is the hardest to admit is that character doesn't have to go. I'm Flossie Lewis. This is my brief but spectacular take on growing old.
Well, that was sweet. Oh, folks, that was sweet. That was Flossie Lewis. And every now and then, for my listeners out there, for my senior listeners, I'll play that for you. I'll play that clip for you because it's such an uplifting piece of conversation. I mean, she's talking about, she's 91 years old, and she's trying to encourage all of us to not let old age stop you from being the person you want to be. She's saying that our bodies may go, but our character will remain. Our bodies may go, but our minds and sound thinking will remain. Because she's in a walker, wheelchair, and she's 91. But you got some people who are 91 and 95 and 97 who are walking around without wheelchairs, without walkers, and keep the faith. I mean, old age is a bitch, and there's no doubt about it. The first thing to go is your knees, probably. I should know. I mean, but it doesn't have to hinder you. I mean, look at Bernie Sanders. I've said this many times on the show. Look at Bernie Sanders. Look how virable he is. This guy is 74, 75 years old. And I've said this many times on the show. And this guy he jumps on one plane after another, goes from one state to another, and this is in repeated succession. He goes from state to state, city to city, rally to rally, primary to primary, and he's 70. He is a role model for me and should be for the rest of you. You don't have to let old age hinder you. You don't have to let it stop you from being the best person that you can be. And just because you're in your 70s or even 80s, you can still end up, if you give it a shot, you can still end up being president of the United States. Ronald Reagan was 68 when he first became president of the United States. We got Bernie Sanders, 75 years old, and he could be, it's a long shot, but he could be president of the United States at his age. He'd be 76 if he win the presidency. Hopefully, maybe that will not happen, but just think about it if he should win, because he's still in the race, so there's always a possibility. But the fact is that do not let old age hinder you. Yeah, the body is going to hurt. I mean, once you get in your 50s, your body's going to start aching, you know, and just realize the signs of it, you know. And I want to say this to my seniors out there. As you get older, the most important thing that you can do is exercise. You start to get older, you're going to need exercise more and more and more. However, you do not have to join a gym. A 15, 20-minute walk around your neighborhood is all you need a day. But you have to move. You don't need to go to a gym and try to become buff, you know, at 65 and 70 years old. You don't need that. But you know what? You got some seniors out there, 65, 70, 75, 80 years old. I mean, they're walking around with a six pack, you know, washboard belly or something. I mean, they got muscles everywhere, you know. But if you can't do that, a 15-minute, 20-minute walk, you don't need to go join a gym of any kind, you know, to get your needed exercise a day. But if you want to join a gym, join a senior center or something, you know, to keep from being alone. Because you got a lot of seniors out here that are alone. They're all alone. And you don't want, because being all alone for a senior, you know, that's not good. That's not good. That's why you have all of these senior centers around, these places where seniors can go to mingle with people of their own age. That's great, but a lot of these programs are being shut down and closed by Bruce Rauner. But there's still some around, and I would suggest seniors, utilize some of these places. Don't sit at home by yourself looking out of the window or feeling sorry for yourself, because you're going to go into a depression and you're going to beg God to take your life. Get out and enjoy yourself. Meet people. Go places. And you'll live longer, you know. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I've been railing off just about the entire show about Bruce Rauner. I think he deserves it. I really do think he deserves it. And we, as citizens of Illinois, we cannot let this guy dismantle this state the way he wants to dismantle it. He says he's a taxpayer representative. Give me a damn break. In other words, he's saying that he's representing the workers of Illinois. He's cutting their jobs. He's trying to upend the middle class people. He wants to see minimum wage reduced or eliminated. How is that being a representative of the taxpayer? He wants to cut the pay of 60 to 70,000 state workers in the state of Illinois. How is that being a taxpayer representative? I guess Bruce Rauner thinks that some of us are just plain old dumb. Bruce, that is not true. All right. Hopefully tomorrow, my guest will be Keith Keller. And hopefully tomorrow, I will not have to be talking about Bruce Rauner. You guys make sure you tag this show, download this show, and podcast this show. Because if you missed any parts of this show, you missed a hell of a lot. And I'm just not saying that. That's not just a slogan for the show. If it's about the state of Illinois, you missed a hell of a lot. And this show is all about making the world a better place. It's more than just talk. It's about putting some action behind that talk. And Smart Quiz question is, who wrote the Declaration of Independence? It might have been Thomas Jefferson. Who knows? But anyway, this is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, making the world a better place, one show at a time. All right. What time is it? We've got...
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
We've got 7:24 p.m. Chicago time. All right, folks. All right, folks, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We've got about less than a minute into the show. And I want to say once again, my guest tomorrow is Keith Keller. Make sure you tune in for that. I mean, you miss the show here, you miss a hell of a lot. Only listen to me, folks. This is one of my show is one of Chicago's finest shows. I'm not saying that. That's what other people have said. I'm just reiterating it because it's my show. All right. Someone just whispered in my ear, George, you have 90 seconds left. I got 90 seconds, folks. So what can we do in 90 seconds? I'll talk about tomorrow's show. Okay. Oh, I just got through saying we're going to have some. And next week, folks, we got a lot of guests. We got a full slate of guests next week. Linda Williams will be back on the 26th. That's Thursday. The first time she was on the show, she was so much fun. And that's why I asked her back, and she politely said yes. And that should be fun. That should be fun. I love having guests on the show who are fun. You know, that's what it's all about. I mean, life is too short. You have to have fun. You can't sit around and be depressed. Don't do that. Don't you ever sit around and be depressed. Not while you're listening to this show, folks. All right. Thanks for joining me, folks. And I hope you join me tomorrow on the George Wilder Jr. Show. See you then. Bye-bye.